Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
And that would be me. Good evening and welcome. Nice to have your company for another edition of the Irish Programme, live on air with you until 7 o'clock. I hope you can stay with me. I'll be talking to Ben Sweeney about general election 2020. There's only another week in it after this because the 8th of February is the election day, the polling day in Ireland. So Ben will keep us up to date with what's been happening over the last week. Patricia Traynor has another story for us and she will introduce that herself very shortly. I'll have some famous Irish birthdays for you as per usual. I didn't get a chance to play the number one song in Ireland back in 1966 last week on the programme, but as chance would have it, it was number one for more than 1 week, so I'll play it today. Fingers crossed that we have time. There'll be some new old music. What do you mean by new old music? You'll find out, don't you worry. And a lovely song that was penned by a couple who are from Ireland but live in Nurka some of the year. And they played together as The Keys. And they wrote a lovely tribute song to a friend of theirs who passed away some time ago. And I'm going to take a listen. We're going to take a listen to that today on the programme. There'll be a St. Patrick's Day update from as many places as I can possibly muster up. And there'll be a whole lot more in there as well. So it's shaping up to be a nice programme. I hope you've had a good week. And if you would like to share anything with me, or if you would like to point me in the direction of something happening that you think we should be covering on the programme, do please let me know. The best way to get in contact is ger, at tre.radio. ger@tre.radio. Will we start with the birthdays? I think we should. And today being the 3rd of February, lads, where did it go? Where did I don't know where January went. And normally it's one of those long, dark, kind of miserable months, but no, just absolutely flew. A fellow by the name of Val Dunican was born on this very day in Waterford back in 1929. Tomorrow is the 4th of February. And Patrick Bergan, the actor, was born in Dublin on that day in 1951. Robert Emmet, the Irish patriot, born in 1775. Countess Constance Markovitz, a patriot and politician. Now, while she wasn't actually born in Ireland, I think she deserved to be on the list. I think she did. She was born on that day in 1868. Dara O'Brien, the comedian, he was born in Bray in County Wicklow in 1972. And Jimmy McGee, the wonderful RTE commentator, he had an encyclopedic memory, didn't he? Unfortunately, he passed away a couple of years ago. Anyway, he was born in New York, would you believe it? I didn't know that, in 1935. Wednesday is the 5th of February, and Maurice Lenihan, the journalist and historian, was born in Waterford in 1811 on that day. The 6th of the month, Jim Sheridan, director, born in Dublin, 1949. Bernard Dunn, the boxer, born in Dublin in 1980. And Margaret, or better known to us as Margot O'Donnell, the singer, was born in Donegal in 1951. The 7th is Friday, and Rory O'Hanlon, politician, was born in Monaghan in 1934. Rory O'Hanlon would, of course, be the father of well-known actor and comedian Ardal O'Hanlon, who starred in Father Ted and many other things as well. The 8th of February, I don't have any famous Irish people for it, but my mammy celebrates her birthday on the 8th, which is Saturday, and it's also polling day in Ireland, so we say happy birthday to Mammy Sweeney, who may or may not hear this. If we can get the technology sorted, she will. And my best old pal back in Ireland, a man by the name of Peter Houlihan, Peter's mam also would have been celebrating her birthday on this day. So we remember a lovely lady, Una Houlihan, who would have been celebrating a fairly significant birthday on this day. Alrighty, what have we got then on the 9th, which is Sunday? Brendan Behan, the writer, was born in Dublin in 1923. Garrett Fitzgerald, the politician and former Taoiseach, born in 1926. Edward Carson, the Ulster Unionist politician, was born in Dublin in 1854. John Hines, wonderful actor. You'll remember him and you know him from so many different TV and films, and indeed Shakespearean plays as well. A fabulous actor, born in Belfast in 1953. And James Stevens, the writer, was born in Dublin in 1882. So there we go. That's a quick look at the birthdays for this coming week. There's a few musical ones in there. The first of those that we came across, the late Val Dunican, born in Waterford on this day back in 1929. And here he is.
Walk tall. Walk tall, walk straight and look the world right in the eye. That's what my mama told me when I was about knee high. She said, son, be a proud man and hold your head up high. Walk tall, walk straight and look the world right in the eye. All through the years that I grew up, Ma taught these things to me. But I was young and foolish then and much too blind to see. I ignore the things she said as if I'd never heard. Now I see and understand the wisdom of her words. Walk tall, walk straight and look the world right in the eye. That's what my mama told me when I was about knee high. She said, son, be a proud man and hold your head up high. Walk tall, walk straight and look the world right in the eye. I started going places where the youngsters shouldn't go. I got to know the kind of girls it's better not to know. I fell in with a bad crowd and laughed and drank with them. Through the laughter, Mama's words would echo now and then. Walk tall, walk straight and look the world right in the eye. That's what my mama told me when I was about knee high. She said, son, be a proud man and hold your head up high. Walk tall, walk straight and look the world right in the eye. I got in trouble with the law and I'm in prison now. Through these prison bars I see things so much different now. I've got 1 year left to serve and when my time is done, I'll walk tall and straight and make Ma proud to call me son. Walk tall, walk straight and look the world right in the eye. That's what my mama told me when I was about knee high. She said, son, be a proud man and hold your head up high. Walk tall, walk straight and look the world right in the eye. Walk tall, walk straight and look the world right in the eye. Walk tall.
The wonderful Val Dunican and a song called Walk Tall. He would have celebrated his birthday today. He was born on this day in Waterford in 1929. Going to take a quick break, come back to me just after that, and I'll be playing some new old music, whatever that means. And we'll have an old story from Patricia, so don't go anywhere.
Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney. Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Welcome back to the programme, and I said that I was going to be playing some old new music, or some new old music, in fact, is how I said it. And that's exactly what we're going to do right now, because if you know of an Irish band by the name of Stockton's Wing, they were hugely popular in the late 1970s and right through the 80s in Ireland, and shared stages with some of the most amazing people in the world. Originally based in County Clare, the Hanrahan brothers, Mike and Kieran, would have been involved. Tony Callanan would have been the singer before Mike came along. Tommy Hayes on percussion. Cousin of the Hanrahans, Paul Roach on tin whistle. And of course, Morris Lennon on the fiddle. A wonderful Irish band. And what they've decided to do is re-release the music that made them so popular and so well-loved across Ireland and across the world, because they did travel and they were superb ambassadors for Ireland and Irish music as they travelled. And indeed, they're back again travelling, doing bits and pieces with various different lineups and so on. And I wanted to play a track because they re-released all their music and it's available on Spotify, it's available on CD. Go find it, it's absolutely fantastic. But I have just finished reading a book written by Mike Hanrahan, who was with the Wing for a long time and is back with them again. And Mike wrote a song called Beautiful Affair, but he called the book Beautiful Affair. And Mike is a very talented singer-songwriter, but he's also a very gifted and talented chef. And the book takes you on the journey through his childhood and his love of music and how he got onto the stage and his involvement with Stockton's Wing and playing with people like Eleanor Shanley and the Dubliners and Ronnie Drew and all of those people. And it's fascinating. It also takes you on the journey of the love affair that he had and how he went and decided to become a chef. and trained as a chef and became a chef teacher, if that's the correct word to use. And I just thought I'd give it a mention because it's superb. He released it back in October of last year. I bought it and never got a chance to read it, but I've just finished it, and I swallowed it up at once I started. So I just thought I'd give it a mention this evening. I wanted to play this particular track because it is gorgeous, but it's also the title of the book, which is called Beautiful Affair, written by Mike Hanrahan, played here beautifully by Stockton's Wing. And I love the intro. It'll come in behind me in just a second. I love the intro. And the intro was based on the Gregorian chant of the monks in Glenstall Abbey. And it was the brainchild. That idea was the brainchild of a man that you've heard a couple of times been mentioned on the programme, PJ Curtis, who actually produced the album that this song was on. In fact, he produced the song as well. So, and there's so much credit to be given to so many people for this. Let's take a listen to some new old music from the wonderful Stockton's Wing.
Laying low and the mountains seem no closer than before, and you wonder why. You know in your mind it does no good to hide, and the only way is living to survive. Makes you feel alive.
Stand on the door, swing open your life, so fold it before your very eyes. Walking around, come into the sound, forget your down.
Song, isn't it? It comes from Stockton's Wing and it's called Beautiful Affair. No need to say any more about that. Patricia Traynor joins us on a regular basis to tell us stories. All true, of course. Yeah, and here she is with another one.
Well, hello, Ger, again. We're going to talk today about Finn McCool. Now, you remember we heard the story about Finn McCool and the Giant's Causeway, but today we're going to hear how Finn McCool got his name. He was born the son of a man called, yes, Cool, and a woman called Moorna. Cool was the head of the clan Baskna and the leader of the Fianna. The Fianna, remember, was the king's elite band of warriors. Now, Cool fell in love with the beautiful Moorna the first time he saw her. Moorna was the daughter of a druid called Tag, and many chieftains and kings had asked for the hand of Moorna in marriage, but all had been refused. So when Cool asked Tag for the hand of his beautiful daughter, he too was refused. Cool was determined to have her, so he abducted her and took her far away. Tag was furious when he found out and went immediately to the king. As the warriors of the Fianna were sworn to respect women, the king demanded that Cool return Moorna to her father. But Cool replied he would do anything for the king, but he would not return Moorna. The king summoned up a great army of soldiers to join him in battle against Cool and his clansmen of the clan Baskna. The king's army greatly outnumbered Cool and his followers, and so in the fierce battle at Tnaca, today called Castle Knock, Cool was killed. One of Cool's men struck one of the sons of Moorna in the eye and blinded him, and from then on he became known as Gol MacMoorna. The king recorded Gol MacMoorna by making him the leader of the Fianna instead of Cool's heir, who should have been the leader. After learning of the death of Cool, Moorna went back to her father's fortress at Tara, but her father refused to admit her. However, the king gave her shelter, because soon after, Moorna gave birth to a boy she called Demna. She knew her son was in danger, as the MacMoorna tribe would try to kill him in case he claimed his right to be the head of the Fianna. So, with a heavy heart, she gave her son to two of her faithful women attendants. They moved away into the forest and looked after Demna as though he were their own son. Demna had a difficult time growing up, as he was constantly in danger and therefore always on the move to avoid being caught. His fame as a skillful huntsman and tracker spread throughout the land, and people began calling him that fair-haired young man with extraordinary strength and skill. So they referred to him as Fionn or Finn, which means fair-haired. Gol MacMoorna heard rumours about this fair-haired youth and suspected that he might be the son of Cool. He sent soldiers to look for him, but Fionn heard of their plans and was constantly on the move. However, now that rumours of his parentage were out, he was determined to overthrow Gol MacMoorna and to become the leader of the Fianna as his father had done before him. And he knew that to be considered worthy, it was not enough to be an excellent huntsman and warrior. He had to be as good a poet as he was a warrior. Remember, poets were very highly regarded in those days. So he went in search of a poet and teacher called Finnegas. He found Finnegas camping near a pool on the River Boyne. Finnegas had spent the previous 7 years trying to fish a salmon. But it wasn't just any old salmon. It was the red speckled salmon of knowledge. Whoever ate this salmon would have the gift of eternal knowledge of things past, present and future. You see, the salmon ate the berries which fell from a magic rowan tree which overlooked the pool. When Fionn arrived, Finnegas had just managed to catch the salmon. He was ecstatic, but he was also extremely tired, as you might imagine, after fishing for 7 years. So he asked Finn to make a fire and to roast the salmon for him, but he warned him to take special care not to burn it, and above all, not to eat any of it himself. Finn agreed and took great care roasting the salmon. When he was removing the fish from the fire, he burnt his thumb on a bubble of grease on the surface and immediately put his thumb in his mouth to ease the pain. When he brought the salmon to Finnegas, Finnegas looked at him and noticed a change in him. He asked him if he had eaten any of the salmon. Finn said no, he had not, but oh, he had burnt his thumb when he lifted it off the fire and had to quell the pain by putting it in his mouth. Finnegas groaned and said, "Oh," that as Finn had been the first person to taste the salmon, it was he who would have the gift of eternal knowledge. He asked the youth his name, and he replied that his name was Demna. Finnegas said, "There was a prophecy that it would be a fair-haired young man who would eat the salmon of knowledge." He said, "You are that fair-haired young man. So from now on, your name is Fionn or Finn." As Fionn had been the first to try the salmon, Finnegas said, well, he might as well eat the rest of it. However, when Finn needed to use his gift of eternal knowledge, he had to put his thumb in his mouth. It's amazing how often we see people putting their thumbs in their mouths when they're trying to solve a difficult problem. Perhaps, like Finn, they might increase their knowledge.
Ship stood square in its rigging at the mouth of Bantry Bay. And I said to myself, sweet Jamie lad, you'll be a stowaway. For proud Burton port that bore you all the fair seafaring clan. Sure I know that I intend to be a daring sailing man. Sure the sea is a jealous lover, it claims your mind and heart. And once you've stood before the mast, well you'll never be apart. Sure you see its anger swelling, and you see its blessed calm. And you know you'll forever be a daring sailing man. And I had two fine brothers that before me went to sea. And now they're softly sleeping in some far distant key. And the younger one was Brendan, and the older one was Ned. And the cruel storm sent them plunging to Davy Jones's bed. Sure the sea is a jealous lover, it claims your mind and heart. And once you've stood before the mast, well you'll never be apart. Sure you see its anger swelling, and you see its blessed calm. And you know you'll forever be a daring sailing man. So I go a-sailing away from Bantry Bay, for Greenland whales and China sails, sweet Jimmy Stowaway. And I hear my brothers calling, but sure I don't give a damn. For I know I intend to be a daring sailing man. Yes, the sea is a jealous lover, it claims your mind and heart. And once you stood before the mast, well, you'll never be apart. For you see its anger swelling, and you see its blessed calm. And you know you'll forever be a daring sailing man.
When we were doing the famous Irish birthdays, I told you that Margot, or Margaret O'Donnell, to give her her full title, was born back in 1952. So she celebrates her birthday on the 6th, which is Thursday of this week. In fact, she was born in 1951. There she is, and a song called Darlin' Sailin' Man. Now, let's take a quick commercial break. Come back to me just after that. I will update you as best I can on what I know is happening so far in relation to St. Patrick's weekend and St. Patrick's Day in and around the area that you might be interested in.
Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney. Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Welcome to the third part of the programme. Before I go anywhere, may I say hello to our listeners in Mallorca. There's been a frequency change there over the last wee while, so I hope that you were enjoying listening to Talk Radio Europe now on your brand new frequency, 97.3 on the FM dial, as they say. So anyway, welcome. If you happen to know somebody in Mallorca, they might not have found us, or let them know. We're on 97.3 now. We have moved from the old one, so we say hello. Speaking of Talk Radio Europe, a couple of things I want to tell you about before I go to St. Patrick's Day. The Good, the Bad and the Ugly, presented by John Harper and Giles Brown. The first edition of the programme will start at 8 o'clock on Tuesday, the 18th of February. So it's a little bit away yet, but I wanted to flag it for you so that you can put it into your diary to listen to that very first one. John Harper, Giles Brown, The Good, the Bad and the Ugly. And the programme's going to be a mix of interviews and chat. The phone lines will be open. And of course, it's coming on the heels of the repeat of Viewpoint of that particular day. So it should make for very interesting listening. And we wish the lads the very best of luck, John Harper and Giles Brown, on their very first The Good, the Bad and the Ugly on the 18th of February. Spotlight with Stacey Pinkerton will be returning to us as well later in the month. I thought I'd flag that for you as well. That's starting on the 27th of February. It's a Thursday. It'll be on every Thursday at 8 o'clock for 1 hour. So if you get a chance to listen in to Stacey's very popular programme, Spotlight, I'm sure you won't be disappointed. So there we go. Now, St. Patrick's Day, there is a lot happening, and a lot of the things that are happening have not actually been nailed down as yet. So I just wanted to, in advance, let you know this definitely has been nailed down. The Spanish-Irish Business Network in Madrid, they hold a ball every second year. So this year it's actually happening, and this particular event will be taking place on the 13th of March, which is Friday the 13th. And it's going to be supporting two charities on the night, Menudos Corazones and the Heart Children Ireland. Both those charities will benefit. Now, tickets are €110 per person and include a welcome reception, a three-course meal featuring the finest Irish produce, live Spanish and Irish entertainment, and a complimentary bar until late. If you would like further information on that, and I know that people travel from all over Spain to be part of this particular event, it's always sold out quickly. If you'd like further information, you can check out SIBN. All right, that's the Spanish-Irish Business Network, SIBN.es, and they will give you further information and sell you as many tickets as you like, but I would be suggesting that you might want to hurry up. Now, along the Costa del Sol, the Irish Association of Spain will be assisting and looking after some of the events happening. I know that the Cladabar in Marbella has a weekend of entertainment planned. I don't have the programme to date as yet, but the weekend of the 14th and 15th, that is when that celebration is happening. I also know that La Cala de Mijas will be celebrating, and that will be on the Sunday before St. Patrick's Day. So that'll be on the 15th. And again, when plans are finalised, I'll bring them to you. Now, I got a note from the Irish Association of Spain who asked me to mention that they are currently finalising plans for the 2020 St. Patrick's Day celebrations along the Costa. And they want to hear from businesses or performers who would like to participate and maybe promote their business or introduce their services along the Costa del Sol. Now, the St. Patrick's Day celebrations, as organised by the Irish Association of Spain, started 23 years ago and is probably the biggest annual independent event held along the Costa del Sol. And you can contact them by email at info@irishassociationspain.com. That's info@irishassociationspain.com. So if you have information that you would like to pass on to them, if you would like to get involved and be a volunteer to help marshal the events in Torremolinos and Benalmádena particularly, they would like to hear from you. And if you're a performer and you would like to perform on the day, well, they would like to hear from you there as well. So there we go. That's just a very quick mention on some of the information that I have in relation to St. Patrick's Day, which is coming up in the not too distant future. Now, this is a song I mentioned when I played Stockton's Wing. My good friend PJ Curtis, and PJ regularly sends me fabulous nuggets, and he sent me a lovely nugget from a lady by the name of Bernie Philbin. And Bernie wrote a song, maybe it was her husband involved in this as well, because her husband Fred McDermott plays guitar on this track, but they lost a very close friend some months ago, and they wrote this lovely song in tribute to him, and I wanted to play it for you. And not only are they husband and wife, but they also play together as the Keys, and I am interested in getting to America to meet up with them and bring the microphone and have a chat with them. And I will do that in the very near future. But for now, let's take a listen to the wonderful Bernie Philbin and a song called Song for Julio. Beautiful song, isn't it? It comes from Bernie Philbin. Her husband, Fred McDermott, was on guitar on that, and a beautiful song called Song for Julio, and I will play that again, I would imagine, sometime in the future. I did promise I'd play the number one song in Ireland on this day back in 1966, and before I run out of time again, let's do it right now. It was at number one for more than 1 week, I am glad to say. Lovely Leitrim, it's called, so we'll dedicate it to anybody who may have family in Leitrim, or they may be from Leitrim themselves, and if you are, here's the wonderful Larry Cunningham.
Last night I had a pleasant dream. I woke up with a smile. I dreamt that I was back again in dear old Erin's Isle.
I thought I saw Loch Allen's bands in the valleys down below. It was my lovely Leitrim where the shadow waters flow. I stood enchanted by the scene of grandeur and light. I headed off for Kerry town before the dark of night. I passed Sheemore, that fairy hill where flowers widely grow, and I saw the grave of Finn McCool where the shadow waters flow. The next I saw was Fáinne town with her ancient abbey walls, where the preaching of her holy monks re-echoes through her hall. I stood with reverence on the spot, reluctant for to go. From the town of saints and sages square, the shadow waters flow. I have traveled far through these great lands, from the east on to the west. But of all the islands I have seen, I love my own the best. And if ever I return again, there's one place I will go. It will be to lovely Leitrim where the Shannon waters flow.
That's Larry Cunningham, the number one song in Ireland on this day, back in 1966, and a great song called Lovely Leitrim. Going to leave it there for this part of the programme. Ben will join me very shortly to talk to me about General Election 2020 in Ireland.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney. Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Welcome to the fourth and final part of the programme. General Election 2020 is not necessarily taking a back seat in Ireland, but it's the back end of the programme for us today. Ben Sweeney joins me on the phone as well. Ben is the producer of Clare FM's morning current affairs programme called Morning Focus. Ben, good to talk to you. How are you?
Hi, Ger. You well?
I'm good, thank you. Are you drowning in literature from candidates and political parties at this stage?
Getting to that end of it, all right. Yeah, there's been a lot of things come through the door, and plenty of leaflets, plenty of loads of promises.
All right. I know that you on the programme, like other local radio stations and indeed the Nationals and TV, have been holding debates. I know you've had a few different goes at it. Was it three or four you've already had? How did they go for you?
They're going well. Some are more exciting than others, just depending on the pairing of candidates and the like. It's almost difficult to keep track of what's happening nationally because you get so involved with your own constituency, but yeah, that's a thing that will happen across the country anyways, and it just goes to show, I suppose, that all politics is local. But no, they're going very well.
The major issues that we've discussed before, like housing and health and climate change, overspending and overrun of projects and things like that, are they taking centre stage locally?
They're the main issues generally, housing and healthcare. But when it comes to debates, you have to kind of try and balance everything out. And people are spotting very unusual things, I suppose, that they're getting very flustered about. Let's say where I am on the west coast of Ireland, wind turbines is a big one because they're looking at green energy, and you know, a lot of the county that I live in is very green, is very it's a gorgeous county, but there's parts of it that have turbines, but and that tends to get a lot of people in those areas very frustrated. But whereas if you're living in Dublin, wind turbines are probably far from your main concern. Mm. But local issues become bigger. While people would generally say housing and healthcare are my priorities, what matters to them then at the end of the day is, well, I'm not looking for a house, I'm not fixing at the moment, but I'm looking at a wind turbine out the back of my house, or I'm going to be paying X amount of tax if this particular person comes into government. So it's very tough to judge where the election issues actually are. coming into the last week of it.
Does it really matter what they're doing nationally? Will people vote still locally on personalities?
They do. Yeah, they really do. There's a few TDs around the country who'd be personalities personified, really. You know, the Healy Ray brothers from Kerry come to mind, and Matthew McGrann, Michael Lowry from Tipperary, who were all independents. When it comes to independents in particular, it is the personality.
You look at independents like Matty McGrath and Michael Lowry, particularly in Tipperary, they're very strong. Now, Michael Lowry used to be a member of Fine Gael, usually votes with Fine Gael and is part of whatever is going on in that. Now you look at County Clare and you look at Dr. Michael Harty. He put himself forward to try and secure the idea of having a doctor in every village. He's not running this time round. You can tell from him that he was frustrated. He couldn't get to talk to the Minister for Health. He couldn't get to talk to the Taoiseach. So are people wondering, are people looking at it and thinking, well, if we vote independent, they're not going to have much of a voice? Is there much of that talk in Clare going on at the minute?
There is, and that's something that has come up on our debates. In 2016, the last general election, we saw a huge sweep towards an independent vote. People weren't happy with any of the establishment parties. And that's when a lot of independents came to power. But we've seen with, as you mentioned there, Michael Harty, the problems with being an independent. He couldn't get to the main men in power, even though he was very high up and had a very important position on the healthcare committee that the government has. He was actually the chair of it and couldn't get to the Taoiseach. So that shows you the problem. When the party decides that the party's gone ruling, that's really the end of it. But still, a number of independent TDs found themselves in very beneficial positions then. The likes of Michael Lowry, Noel Grealish, they found themselves in a position of power because when it came down to the brass tacks and the government was on its last legs, they were in positions where the government needed them to support them in key votes. So that's when you saw funding for schools in their area or, you know, a new road being built and stuff like that. So particular independents who have expressed an interest in voting for the government can find themselves in positions of power.
Okay. The TV debates, the seven leaders have debated twice in the last week, once on Virgin One Television and once on RTE Television. Has it made an impact? Have people made up their mind or changed their minds because of the debates?
I really don't think so. You get a look at who will be the next Taoiseach perhaps, and you know, there'll be some people who will make up their minds on, well, I don't like that particular person, so I'm not going to vote for that person. But generally, I think it comes down to the candidates they have on the ground. I mean, even we've seen that with how the party leaders are spreading themselves around the country. Clare hasn't seen any of the party leaders coming to the county, and that's been represented across a number of different constituencies, which I find is very interesting. A lot of people are finding that the leaders don't inspire a whole lot of confidence at all. Mm-hmm.
All right. And finally, Ben, Catherine Noone, an Irish senator, found herself in a little bit of hot water. And every so often, or every week, something comes up that kind of throws a spanner in the works. Catherine Noone apologised after calling Taoiseach Leo Varadkar autistic. He's uncomfortable socially and he doesn't get the in-between bits. She came under a bit of stick for that, but he's brushed it away. What's the general feeling about a comment like that on the Taoiseach?
There was a lot of frustration. We would have spoken last week about that personality that Leo Varadkar has and how he's seen as not being able to have that level of empathy that other politicians might have. It is a big problem for him. But when it was a comment like that, people are coming out more because they have family members who are autistic rather than, you know, defending the Taoiseach on any particular merit. But it has upset an awful amount of people here. It's too late to withdraw her nomination, so she's still on the ticket. But that did do a lot of harm to Fine Gael, I think. But that was a problem Fine Gael didn't need a week out from an election. Meanwhile, Fianna Fáil, of course, had their own problem with Billy Kelleher. The MEP, he was newly elected, he was a TD until the local European elections in May, coming out and criticising or being seen to criticise an extremely popular, renowned journalist, Tony Connolly, who reports from Europe for the broadcaster, made some strange comments. And they've spent the last 2 days trying to defend it, particularly they spent Thursday and Friday trying to defend that and take away from all the steam that was going that way. One candidate somewhere, even in this instance with Billy Kelleher, not even running in the general election, making a comment and taking away from all of the policy launches. But going back to your initial question, I suppose, candidates on the ground, it's not being seen as a representative Fine Gael issue, so the candidates who are running for Fine Gael probably won't see any hit back for it, but it certainly did capture a lot of newspaper articles and airtime on radio.
Excellent. All right. Well, Ben, I'll leave it to you. There's only a few more days left in it. And by this time next week, we will know exactly what the position is, or we'll have a fairly good idea as to how the mathematics is working out. And whether we'll know who's going to be Taoiseach or not will be a different story. So, look, thanks a million for joining us today. And look forward to chatting to you next week when 'tis all over.
Thanks, sir. Can't wait.
That's Ben Sweeney. He is the producer of Clare FM's morning current affairs programme called Morning Focus.
Don't tell me this is all for nothing. I can only tell you one thing. On the nights you feel outnumbered, baby, I'll be out there somewhere. I see everything you can be. I see the beauty that you can't see. On the nights you feel outnumbered, baby, I'll be out there somewhere.
I could have showed you all the scars at the start, but that was always the most difficult part. See, I'm in love with how your soul's a mix of chaos and art, and how you never try to keep them apart. I wrote some words and then I stared at my feet, became a coward when I needed to speak. I guess love took on a different kind of meaning for me, so when I go, just know it kills me to leave. To all the stars that light the road, don't ever leave that girl so cold. Never let me down, just lead me home. Don't tell me this is all for nothing. I can only tell you one thing. On the nights you feel outnumbered, baby, I'll be out there somewhere. I see everything you can be. I see the beauty that you can see. On the nights you feel outnumbered, somewhere. But there's beauty here that's yet to depart. There's still a song inside the halls in the dark. I'll come for you if you just stay where you are, and I'll always hold your hand in the car. And there'll be days when it's difficult, but I ask you to never leave behind the reciprocal. We're past that, love is not designed for the cynical. So we have that, we can have that. To all the stars that light the road, don't ever leave that girl so cold. Never let me down, just lead me home. Don't tell me this is all for nothing. I can only tell you one thing. On the nights you feel outnumbered, baby, I'll be out there somewhere. I see everything you can be. I see the beauty that you can't see. On the nights you feel outnumbered, baby, I'll be out there somewhere. I can only tell you one thing. On the nights you feel outnumbered, baby, I'll be out there somewhere.
I see everything you can be. I see the beauty that you can see. On the nights you feel outnumbered, baby, I'll be out there somewhere. Baby, I'll be out there somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. There's somewhere, somewhere.
There's a man that you won't have heard on the programme before. A man by the name of Dermot Kennedy. He's a young man, he's only 28, and he's from Rathcoole, just outside Dublin. And his debut album called Without Fear was released back in October of last year. And that's a gorgeous song from him, which is called Outnumbered. Thanks, by the way, again to Ben for joining me. Apologies for the quality of the phone line. Sometimes it's hit and miss as to how we do it and how we don't do it. And that is it for the programme. Before I go, can I just remind you, as I have you there now, as the fella says, let me tell you again about the contact details for the Irish Association of Spain, particularly if you happen to be in the Torremolinos Benalmádena area. They're looking for volunteers to help marshal the event, but also for performers. There is already a big lineup organised, but there's always a couple of gaps and always room for more. So if you are an Irish artist, or you sing Irish songs and you'd like to get involved in a big Irish party on the weekend of St. Patrick's, well then, get in touch with them, please. You can send an email to info@irishassociationspain.com. All right? info@irishassociationspain.com, and I will have further information from them very shortly on what's happening across the Costa del Sol in relation to St. Patrick's Day 2020. Right, if you want to go to the ball in Madrid, you can contact the Spanish-Irish Business Network at sibn.es. More information on that there on the website for you. Alrighty, so that's my lot. Can I say thank you before I go to Ben and to Patricia for your inserts and your involvement on the programme today. A big thank you to PJ Curtis as well for introducing us to Bernie Philbin. And I will be getting a chance, hopefully, to chat to Bernie and her husband in the not too distant future. As always, can I say a big thank you to our Spanish-Irish cultural advisor, that's Jose Antonio Sierra, for the ongoing work that he does on the programme on a daily basis. And most especially, can I say thank you to you for listening in. Now, I have got a few emails. I'm not going to go through the details of it. Just after we played Stockton's Wing's Beautiful Affair, and a lot of people saying how nice it was to hear Stockton's Wing again on the radio and wishing the lads well with their new music, well, their new CD and their new collection of old music. And strangely enough, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. I'm going to play a second track from an artist we've already featured on the programme today. That is Stockton's Wing. Here's a lovely track. I think you'll enjoy it. From me, Ger Sweeney, until next week, look after yourself and each other, and enjoy the wonderful music of Stockton's Wing. Bye bye now.
Let this day pass you by. Take a look at this sky. Watch the stars as they shine. And it's hard to believe something you'll never see. And you won't even look in my eyes anymore. Is there anyone out there who can tell me the reason why? Anyone out there who can see in your light? Anyone out there, can you tell me why it's so bright? Tell me why it's so.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.